Welcome to VFN Radio Live, where we're keeping the conversation light. No, it's not L-I-T-E. It's the light of the world, L-I-G-H-T. Listen, in these dark conversations, in these dark times, our Lord shines bright, and we're here to shine the light of God into your thoughts, into your heart, into your life, into your workplace, into your marriage, into your family, into your car, everywhere you are. Why? Because we are broadcasting around the world on VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the light conversation is the producer of VFN Radio, Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
Also, be joining us in just a few moments. When we come on the air, it'll be John Ramos. We're going to be talking about this tragedy that took place in Boston at the Boston Marathon. Our hearts are broken, and we're praying for them, but we're going to be talking about this tragedy that took place. We're also going to be talking about Israel's 65th year anniversary. 65th year since they've been a nation, and they've accomplished what no other nation has accomplished in 65 years. And God said the generation that sees them coming together will not pass before the Son of Man returns. A convergence of every prophetic happening so quickly. All I got to say, church, is wake up. Don't be the sleeping virgin. There's five virgins that were sleeping, didn't have their wicks trimmed or their lamps full, and they were locked out.
All right.
Wake up, oh sleeper, awake. We're also going to be talking about the Malachi prophecy. Is this the last pope? As John writes on the VFN Torch just yesterday. It seems like some major things are happening. Of course, Sid Roth is interviewing Chris Putnam, I believe, and Tom Putnam, and Jim Putnam.
All of them.
Scramble those names together, you're going to find out. We are finding out some interesting things that this particular pope, according to the Malachi prophecies over 900 years ago, has come to pass. And it is amazing what's being said, because they're saying that this one that would be chosen, and they actually said that the one that left, Pope Benedict, would resign when he did, and Pope Francis is the one, the Roman Pope, who will lead the church in some pretty tragic, the Catholic Church, in some pretty tragic things. We've got so many things we're going to be sharing with you. Also, John G. Lake, listen, when God's called you to do something, step out in bold faith, and he'll meet you there every time. And if you step out, he doesn't meet you there, then just go back, because he didn't call you there. And hopefully we get a chance to be able to talk about, play A Call to Anguish by David Wilkerson. You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello, hello.
Oh, my goodness, man. I know you couldn't hear us because of the technology situation right there, but we was talking you up, man. It was amazing. I love it. You know what that means?
It was all good.
It was all good.
Oh, great.
Listen, this is a serious beginning today's program, because my heart is just, so many things are happening, period. If you're looking more than just yourself, it's everywhere. But on our own shores, it hadn't happened since 9/11. Now, yesterday, in the middle of Patriots Day, on a 26,000-man-woman run in Boston, in the Boston Marathon, reportedly a terrorist has set off a bomb, two bombs. Yeah. Three bombs, actually. I think they put the third one out.
Yeah.
And over three lives have been taken. And it's just tragic. It's totally tragic at what's taking place. And I want you to hear what took place reportedly by CBN News. And we'll be right back. Listen up.
America is once again shocked, grieved, and horrified at a vicious attack by what looks like terrorists that took place in Boston. The FBI is looking for suspects in these terrible bombings. They left at least three people dead and more than 140 people seriously injured.
And one of them was an 8-year-old boy who was waiting with his mom and his sister to see his father cross the finish line. Charlene Israel has this look at the hunt for whoever was behind the blasts.
Across the world, major cities are on high alert today. The deadly bombings in Boston leading to a surge in security from Los Angeles to London. In Boston, investigators are trying to figure out who carried out this terrorist attack. The FBI is heading up the case, appealing for any video or still images taken by marathon spectators. Early this morning, officials searched an apartment in the Boston suburb of Revere, Massachusetts. Investigators were seen leaving a home carrying brown paper bags, plastic trash bags, and a duffel bag. On the scene of the explosion, bomb technicians are studying burn marks on bricks and concrete.
They're going to look at the components of the bomb. It will tell them, is this just somebody that put this together over the internet, or is this a bomb maker?
Meanwhile, doctors in area hospitals collect pieces of shrapnel from the injured, also to be examined. Still no word on a motive or any confirmed suspects, but the bombings came on one of Boston's most famous holidays, Patriots Day. This attack is the first successful bombing in the U.S. since the attacks of September 11th. But in an address to the nation, President Obama urged against a rush to judgment, not using the word terrorism.
Make no mistake, we will get to the bottom of this, and we will find out who did this, we'll find out why they did this. Any responsible individuals, any responsible groups will feel the full weight of justice.
Other White House officials say the explosions are in fact being treated as terrorism. Some lawmakers agree.
Right now it has all the indicators in every aspect of being a Al-Qaeda or Al-Qaeda-affiliated attack.
The Pakistani Taliban have denied any role in the bombings. As the details around the explosion continue to develop, stories of overwhelming acts of kindness are being reported. Boston residents offering their homes to out-of-town runners. Blood donors showing up in mass to donate to the Red Cross. Some running straight from the race. And rescue workers reacting immediately in the aftermath of the explosion. Charlene Israel, CBN News.
Well, our CBN News terrorism analyst Eric Stackelbeck is with us now from Washington. And Eric, what do these tactics tell us? Is this a lone bomber, or do you think it's something to do with some of the organized terror groups?
You know, Pat, it's tough to say right now, but that is the key question here. Was there an overseas link? Was this a guy or guys who, say, trained overseas in Yemen, in Pakistan, got bomb-making expertise there, then came back here to the U.S.? Were they U.S. citizens? We've heard some reports that this was, there's a Saudi who's in custody who may be here on a student visa. We don't know yet, but the big question, I think, is were there overseas links? I think, Pat, that signs, we can't say for sure yet, but signs are pointing to this being an Islamic terror attack. I know there was a lot of talk yesterday about it being tax day. Is this an anti-government extremist? In my experience, Pat, studying this for the past decade plus, when, say, a federal building is hit or an IRS building is targeted, that is more the anti-government type terrorist. With Islamic terrorists, Pat, it's usually indiscriminate violence, like what we saw yesterday, women, children, civilians, with what really appears to be no political point at all. That is a hallmark of Islamic terrorists. Also, the bombs here, Pat, multiple bombs. This is also a hallmark of groups like Al-Qaeda, of Hamas. Multiple bombs and ball bearings inside these bombs to kill even more people, maim even more people after the bombs go off. We don't know if there's a link overseas yet to an organized terror group, but it looks in the very least like some kind of lone wolf Islamic terrorist, but not sure yet.
Well, Eric, you know, it's a terrible thing that they do. They blow off a small bomb. People begin to crowd around to see what's happening, and then they blow off a big one that really injures a lot of people. Was it the same tactic here? There were two bombs that went off.
Yeah, Pat, it looks that way. First responders come, as you said, Pat. The first bomb goes off. Everyone rushes to the scene. Then a second bomb is set to go off just a few seconds after the first one. So when everyone kind of runs up to help the people injured from the first bomb, boom, the second bomb goes off. That's what happened yesterday, Pat. And also, as I mentioned, ball bearings inside the bombs. We see this in the Middle East a lot, Pat. Hamas does it in Israel. They'll put ball bearings, or they'll even put nails wrap them inside these bombs so that when the bombs go off, even more people will be killed by the shrapnel afterwards.
Have you got any report about the injured? I understand there are about 130 people who were injured and some pretty serious stuff.
Pat, I'm hearing horrific, horrific things. People walking around, missing limbs, laying around, missing limbs. It looked like a war zone from what people are saying up in Boston. Looked like an absolute war zone, absolute carnage, blood everywhere, horrific scene, like a scene from war. And really, Pat, it is a war. If this was an Islamic jihadist attack, look, Islamic jihadist 33 years ago, Pat, declared war against us. We are at war. We need to come to grips with that and adjust mentally, psychologically, because terrorism, what happened yesterday, it's all about psychological terror, Pat. This is the face of it, right? Indiscriminate, at a joyous event, the Boston Marathon, women, children. One of the victims, Pat, an eight-year-old boy cheering for his dad. That's the epitome, the definition of terrorism.
There's a young man in custody, I understand, is a student on a student visa who's from Saudi Arabia. Have you got anything about him?
Not much, Pat. You know, he's reportedly 20 years old. We know they searched his apartment up in Revere, Massachusetts, which is a suburb right outside of Boston. So this guy apparently in custody. There were some reports, Pat, that he smelled of gunpowder. So we don't have all the details yet. But the fact that his apartment was searched, and also authorities took several bags of materials out of his apartments. So he's definitely a person of interest right now. But I think the big question, again, I hammer home the point, was there an overseas link? Or look, was this just a small cell of guys in the Boston area, say young Muslims who were maybe radicalized online, inspired by Al-Qaeda online, but no direct links to the group? We've seen many cases like that, Pat. Dozens of arrests like that over the past few years. And remember, this is horrific what happened yesterday, and we even dodged some bullets in the past few years. Think of that Christmas Day underwear bomber, Pat. Mm-hmm. Think of the attempted Times Square bomber 3 years ago. We've dodged some bullets. Unfortunately, yesterday, it caught up to us, and let's hope this is the end of it.
Eric, thank you very much. And again, our hearts go out to these people who were wounded and injured on a joyous day, Patriots Day in Boston. And the Boston Marathon draws people in from all around the world, and about 26 or 7,000 participants, about 17,000, I understand, crossed the finish line before this bomb went off. But to think that somebody would be so vicious, so evil, as to want to kill little children and maim families who are there rejoicing in a sporting contest on a beautiful day in Boston, it just makes you sick at your stomach. But don't talk to me about religion of peace. No way.
It's amazing how tragic this whole situation is. And if you've been listening to VFN Radio and going to the VFN Torch and at VFNTV.com, clicking on the torch and reading the prophecies, well, this is a prophecy. The Lord's going to let us know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. But it's not a for sure thing. He lets us know if you go this way, this is going to happen. If you go this way, that's not going to happen.
Right.
He says, I put before you blessings and cursings. I put before you a blessed nation or a distressed nation. I put before you, do you want your country or do you want me to take it down? Do you want me to fundamentally transform it into more of a tyrannical, you know, do you want me to take it from a Josiah reign to a Jehoiakim reign? And if you haven't yet went to VFN TV and watched Josiah, it's important. This is a tale between two kings, and a war is going on. We've been protected by the hand of God, by the mercies of God. We have been walking so long in the mercies of God. And mercy is this: not getting what we deserve. That is sort of like walking a plank where you don't know if all of a sudden it's just going to end. Mm-hmm. You know, because there comes a point in time when the cup is full. you know, and somebody says, you know, they compare America with some other nation. You can't compare. It's no such thing. It's like apples to oranges. When God blesses a nation and he raises it up and makes it the most prosperous nation ever on the face of the earth and does what he's done to this nation, there's expectations with that. Much is given, much is expected. I remember a Malawi Christian lady. We were talking to her on a conference phone, and there were several of us around. And whether she knew it or not, she began to prophesy. And she said, Malawi, Africa, that's what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. She said, you've been given much. You've been given much. You've been given much. America, church in America, and much is expected from you. And then, you know, the prophecy ended. Mm-hmm. And does this 9/11 didn't hurt bad enough for us to say, God, we're yours?
Yeah.
They took our planes over and flew them into our buildings where our sons and daughters and children were going to earn their living that day. And took down two huge towers in our very eyes because the hand of God pulled back just a little bit. And you think that we would have read the word of God where he says, listen, it's not about the people in the Twin Towers. I'm showing you life is not forever. You're going to die and the judgment seat is coming. If you don't repent, then there's eternal damnation. Mm-hmm. But he loves us enough to just lift his finger just a little bit. Listen, there's people hating on us for years. And as you're noticing, and if you listen to yesterday's broadcast, now we didn't get a chance to talk about it. Today we're going to talk about it. The teacher in New York. Well, she's given an assignment to her kids.
Yeah.
Not her kids, our kids.
Right.
75 of her 10th grade students. Understand this, that we are the object of Satan's hatred. You can't play with darkness. You can't change what God says and say that's God. You can't form a new God and just say, hey, you know, God's changed. No, you've changed. God hasn't changed. We have to adapt ourselves to God. This hurts bad enough. This is deep enough. This hurts bad enough to look. I mean, these young children, I mean, just watching their family run. And they get blown up and their legs or arms get removed off their bodies. And that doesn't stop us. And we still push for laws that are against God. And we still don't repent as a Congress that makes the laws of the nation. And we still continue on in the direction that we're going. The church doesn't wake up. And listen, we're not going to change Washington until we, the church, change our heart. Somebody says, we need to do this, we need to do that. And yeah, we do, but it's not going to work unless we change our heart. This is what we need to do. We need to remember the Lord of our youth. Remember our first love. We need to get hungry again for the presence of God and the glory of God. We have to be willing to change our ways and say, God, I'm going to read your word. I'm moving outside the 81% that don't read your word that says that they're Christians. And I'm going to get back in there because I'm reading it for this reason, not to be religious. I want to find out what you want from me. I want to find out what pleases you. And then we begin to line ourselves up by God's grace with what he says, what his expectations are of us. And that opens the heavens for a blessing, but not only a blessing, but a protection where this evil will not come on our shores. Listen, God's more powerful than anything the devil could do. There ain't nothing, nobody pulled nothing over on God.
No doubt.
What does that mean? That means then, why weren't we talking to God about this? Why weren't we right with God so this doesn't continue to happen? That was like the center of all attention. This is like Patriots Day. You know, it's Boston. Remember the Boston Tea Party and all the things that happened in Boston? And it's like all the cameras are right there. And that's what terror is all about. That's what terrorists, you know, reportedly it's terrorist that have done this, and its goal is to bring terror and bring fear. But the truth is, you have nothing to fear but fear itself. But listen, if you're not walking with God, you have something to fear.
True.
And it's not something happening to you in this life. It's something happening to you in eternal life. Because it's pointed once to die and then the judgment. And listen, the fires of these bombs were horrific and tragic. And it's so bad, I'm willing to repent so it never happens again to someone else in this nation like that.
Yeah.
I mean, how long has this nation gone without stuff like that happening in this nation? Now, all of a sudden, it's like common practices. And our president saying after 9/11, we could take another one of those. We could absorb another one of those. It's like, why do we have to even project that we can lose another 5,000, 4,000, whatever it was, people at, you know what I'm saying? It's like, absorb it. What if you're one of the ones that are being absorbed? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean,
every life counts.
Yeah.
Every life counts. And so I just want to say our prayers go out to the families. This is so tragic to us that we're willing to recheck ourselves with God to make sure that we're right and to pray that God would bring us to a place of repentance, that God would, as we said, end this journey of open sin. And we say, God, we're yours, and to come back to him, because he said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven, and these things that happen in Boston, that happen in Manhattan, won't happen, because I will heal the land. You're listening to VFN Radio. We'll be right back.
Are American veterans having their rights restricted? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
My question is about the rights of veterans that are in nursing homes. I was asked by the veterans there to come and pray with them and do a Bible study.
Did they stop your Bible study now?
Yes, they stopped me, and even the head chaplain called and said, we can't do this because what if there is one Arabic person? I said, this is not...
Well, let me tell you right now, that the chaplain's just absolutely incorrect. Bible studies can take place on military installations. They can take place in military hospitals. And it's not off limits. And we're going to get you in touch with our lawyers here at the ACLJ and get you some help.
Help the American Center for Law and Justice battle key issues that face your faith and family. Learn more about what you can do by visiting us online at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
You know, John, I have been so encouraged listening to you and sharing your stories about Elijah and Isaiah and Maya and how you got to spend time with them at one of their baseball games, how encouraged they were with the fact that you were just simply there. Your presence, just being with them, encouraged them. Tell me about that.
Well, that's cool, man. I can understand what you're saying because I feel that way when I know that God is near me.
Yeah.
You know, when I have a relationship with him and I know that he's present, he's not far away.
Mm-hmm.
He's not too far that is, you know, he can't reach out to me, not too far that his eyes are not always on me. And maybe you are listening today and you wish that you had a father to be in your life, or you wish that somebody was there to watch you. I want to tell you that you're not alone. Many of us have experienced the same things in our lives, and we wanted to know more about God ourselves.
Yeah.
But it was a journey. We were all on a journey. Isn't that right, Steve?
Absolutely.
And that journey brought us to a point where, you know what? I want to meet the Father.
That's right.
I want to meet Father God. And so some of us have shared our stories. You know, a lot of it's not pretty, but what is? But what it truly is, it's real.
Mm.
And if you're looking for a story, a real life story that would help encourage you, I want to ask you to find out more at meetmyfather.org, where real people have gone through real things to find the real Father. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him. Steve, Pat. Mm-hmm. I got to tell you, I've had two experiences when it comes to reading the Bible. I've read the Bible before,
mm-hmm.
and it was like a dictionary.
Yeah.
Didn't make any sense.
Right.
Couldn't understand it.
Right.
And after one page, I said, okay, that's enough.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But then I've had another experience.
Yeah.
And that's when I spent time abiding with God.
Big difference.
That the Bible literally has come alive. Mm-hmm. That which with each word as I read, each verse, I just sense God's presence with me.
Mm-hmm.
I sense that he's speaking to me. And I find that his word gives me direction. It gives me the light that I need. I tell you, if you've read the Bible before and you're struggling because it just doesn't make sense, maybe you don't know where to start, I want to encourage you to get a plan at iabide.org. It's a plan, a very simple plan. It's going to help you to have an abiding relationship. What does that mean? That means that you're going to find a set time, a set place where you're just not going to try to study the Bible because you can't study the Bible. It's not a tutorial. Mm. It's not a textbook. It's a living book that comes with the author. You're going to have an opportunity to sit and engage God, and he's going to engage you. iabide.org, where you can learn to hear the voice of God.
Welcome back to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT light. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat and John. It is 60. If you just missed it, we just talked about the tragedy in Boston yesterday. You got to hear it in the first hour. You can hear it again on the app or on highlights. It is right now, today and tomorrow. Actually, tomorrow is the celebration for the 65th year of Israel being a nation.
Oh, wow.
The 65th. Awesome. Yeah, isn't that neat? The 65th year of Israel being a nation. And I want you to listen to this history right here, real quick, live from CBN News. And we're going to talk about this. This is so, so very important because remember this. This is what was said, that when Israel becomes a nation, when the fig tree begins to bear figs, that this generation who sees this will not pass until the Lord returns. We're talking 65 years into the process. I'm talking about in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the Lord can return. So listen up to the time clock of God, Israel.
Today, Israelis remember their fallen soldiers and terror victims. And tomorrow, Israel celebrates its 65th Independence Day. CBN News Middle East Bureau Chief Chris Mitchell takes a look at what Israel has accomplished in the few decades since its rebirth.
At 65, Israel stands out for what it's accomplished and how it's prevailed. For centuries before statehood, Israelis and Jews around the world faced persecution and military threats. Holocaust survivor Martin Baroni lived here during the 1948 War of Independence.
What they achieved, the whole world for a per capita, there's not a country in the world could have achieved. From every point of view, from medical research to every aspect in life. It's just an amazing story.
Israel's population has also multiplied 10 times over since independence.
I think it's a miracle. We hope that it continues. It's very strong. It's a very encouraging place in which to be, and you can appreciate your historical roots of being Jewish.
Against incredible odds, Israel emerged as the leading military force in the Middle East. That helped lead to pioneering developments in technology that have helped Israel on the battlefield as well as the home front. As part of a memorial ceremony, Israelis paused to honor the more than 23,000 Israeli soldiers and thousands of terror victims who died for their country. Peace is still sought with its closest neighbors, the Palestinians, but Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu maintains his people must stay strong.
We are not bloodthirsty. Our hand is extended in peace to all people and all states near and far. But over the generations, we have learned that only a fierce protection force can promise that we will not be harmed.
And whether the enemy is an Egyptian pharaoh or a nuclear Iran, the people of Israel appear ready to stand together.
We used to it since the beginning of Israel, we had a lot of threats, and until now, I think we knew how to deal with that.
Yeah, they shall overcome. We outlived Paro. We outlived the titans of Russia. We outlived Hitler. We'll outlive whoever is going to stand in our way.
We've had adversaries before. We do have adversaries. But it only makes us think and how we can achieve more with these people breathing down our back or with each other breathing down our back sometimes even. So I think the future is very bright.
Chris Mitchell, CBN News, Jerusalem.
It's so important when you're thinking about what's going on, because it's 60. Somebody says, well, that's brand new. Well, 65 is a long time in regards to, okay, this generation is not going to pass away. You think about it, Matthew 24. When Jesus is talking, you know, his disciples are asking him. They said, Jesus, when will you come back? When will you come back? In other words, well, we would say, when was the rapture going to happen? When is it over for everybody on the earth to receive you as the Lord? You know, and Jesus starts talking to him and says, in verse 2, he says, you know, do you see all these things? And he says, truly, I tell you, not one of these stones, he's talking about the temple, not one of these stones here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down. Talking about the temple that was taken down. This, of course, as soon as his death, burial, and resurrection, it wasn't long before they came in and destroyed Jerusalem and just tore things up. And as Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, by the way, that's where he's going to return. He's going to come and it's going to split in two. And you can look right across, remember, from over the Kedron Valley, over the Eastern Gate. And he was sitting on the Mount of Olives talking to his disciples privately. And they say, you know, tell us, when will all these things happen? And what will be the sign of your coming at the end of the age? And Jesus told him, he said, watch out that no one deceives you. You know, I just want to tell you that it's amazing to me, you know, anyone can be deceived. And deception is what you think you're doing is right when you're wrong. So you can't look at somebody that's deceived and say you're wrong, because they feel deep inside they're right. You can pray for them, and you got to pray for yourself too. We got to pray for ourselves. Lord, keep me from my eyes from being deceived. Keep my heart from being deceived. And then he goes on and he begins to say, he says, for many will come in my name claiming I am the Messiah and will deceive many. You're going to be hearing today on our continual 10-part interview about the Malachi prophecies that a large part of the Jesuit, not all the Catholic Church, but are preparing for a Messiah to return and to rule the world in a whole different perspective. And he said, you'll hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. What does that mean? When you're watching the news, Jesus is saying, listen, just relax. This is just, you know, such things must happen, he says, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation. Well, that word actually comes from the word ethnos. Ethnic group will rise against ethnic group. And so you see is all these tensions between ethnic groups, you know, taking place. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so many people are trying to resolve that. And it's like, hey, you know, Jesus is saying, relax a little bit. The only thing that resolves that is where the two enemies become one at the cross. If people don't become Christians, they're not going to be able to work it out. It just won't work out. He said, nation will rise against nation, the kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places, and all these things are the beginning of birth pains. You know, right now, my son and my daughter-in-law are like moments away from having my grandson, and it's hard to explain, and only a pregnant woman can explain this, but being so close to the birth, I mean, it's just a miserable time, you know, that because you're ready, but then you're anxious too. And but you have to wait, but the baby's going to be birthed and the baby's going to be birthed, you know.
That's right.
And so many people want to induce the coming of the Lord. And this is the way you would induce the coming of the Lord, by the way, which means speed it up. Preach the gospel to every soul. Live in relationship with God, and we're out of here. Anything else, not going to happen. Quit preaching all the other stuff and start preaching the kingdom of God. So as long as you're preaching 3 points in a farewell, you can pretty much say this baby ain't going to be birthed for a little bit. And then he says, then you'll be handed over to be cursed, persecuted. It's like, Jesus, I think, you know, I was, I was just asking when you're going to come back. We're looking at serving in your cabinet. You know, we want to be one of your soldiers or something.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But was this persecution stuff come in? Because you understand that at that point, Jesus hadn't been crucified. Mm. Ne'er has Peter. And so they all ended up going through real tough situations in that. He said, you'll be handed over to be persecuted and put to death. And you'll be hated by all nations, ethnos. You'll be hated by all nations because of me. Understand this. When you become a believer, you are part of a new ethnos, a new nation. You're a holy nation, a holy priesthood. And now we're in the lineage of God. And the first thing we are is Christians. We're Christ followers. And the second thing we are is what we are in our flesh. So we don't put our ethnicity, which is beautiful, all the different parts of us is beautiful, but we don't put that over our relationship with God. Everything submits to the fact that we're brothers and sisters, and God's our Father, and Jesus is our elder brother. That makes sense?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And but we appreciate the beauty of who we are and the cool makeup of us. And he says, and at that time, okay, you're already being persecuted, you're already being hated, you know, you're already being put to death, which obviously you got put to death once, so that's somebody else being put to death. So you're not actually observing this next person being put to death, you know, that's maybe from heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that at that time when this is going on, many will turn away from the faith, John. Many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other.
Mm-hmm.
Does that just blow a hole in the false doctrine that you can't turn away from the faith?
Yes. Isn't that crazy?
It's that's the biggest false doctrine of all. It's like Jesus did not force you to be his bride.
Hello?
This is not a shotgun wedding. You know what I'm saying? He asked you and you said yes. And now every day you decide to be loyal to the bridegroom.
Mm-hmm.
He loves you. And he wants you to love him, but he's not going to force it.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to force it. Let me say that again. This is what he's saying to him. He's talking about. This is why it's important, because I'm going to talk. It's going to come right back to Israel again. And at that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. People will pop up and say, the Lord would say unto you, and the Lord would. It's amazing. This is what's amazing. And, you know, I want to say this with great authenticity. I wouldn't want to say anything else, I guess. By the time you deliver a word to the church, it should be done with such fear and trembling that you very well may have to go change your pants when you're finished. Because if you just throw words over the church without fear and trembling, and you put your hands on people and you prophesy over them and you don't even know what you said, get your hands off the church.
That's right.
That's you're right. Talking, you're putting your hands on the body of Christ.
Mm.
Throwing words out and don't even know what you said. It should be done with such fear and trembling, because they're going to take your words, and you could be and probably are a false prophet if you're just cranking off of your flesh and your own mind and your own thoughts. What are you doing?
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And so with fear and trembling, I guess the best way to put it is that you do it with such awareness of the eyes of God upon you, and that you could turn a person or a people or a church or a nation away from God. By the time you deliver it, you're still, you know, just walking on proverbial heavenly eggshells, hoping, dear God, you know, and you literally, you may have to change your pants when you're finished. You may have wet your pants because you're thinking, I really didn't want to deliver this word, but I had to deliver it. It's called with fear and trembling, because stop just saying anything, you know, and God deals with that. God talks about that coming from your own minds and your own thoughts and all this, because we need all the gifts in the church, but we don't need gifts used in the wrong way, and they've been using the wrong way since day one, but we need that. And so he says false prophets will deceive you, and deceive you means that people all of a sudden will say that they're following God and they heard from God, but
they're barking,
yeah, and then
a mean word,
but then they'll lead you away. And so what that means, they're already led away, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now you're following them, so now you're led away. And since you stand alone before the throne room of God by yourself, no witnesses or no suspects, you cannot come bring that person who led you astray. and as a witness, I would call a false prophet number two to the stand, Lord, because first of all, you're hearing this now, so now there's no excuse. But you answer alone before God, and so you can turn away from the faith. And he says, because of the increase of wickedness, he's going ahead and telling them this about the time that he's going to come. This is the time he's going to come, by the way. Mm-hmm. The love of most will grow cold.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, are we in that day or what?
My goodness.
I mean, you think about what Paul told Timothy. He's like, that they'll be lovers of themselves, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. We are in the pleasure culture. You know, we're in the definitely pleasure culture. And he's talking to him about it. And he said, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. Which means it's not about just saying a prayer at the altar, folks.
Mm-hmm.
It's standing. I mean, you want somebody to stand. Can you imagine fighting a war and somebody says, you go fight it, I'll meet you at the end. Remember, I told you I'm with you, but I'm not really with you, but I want to be able to stand in the victory march at the end. I mean, you got to be really with them. They're going to say, you're not with me, and you're not going to stand on this stage with me. Medal of Honor. Anyway, so, and he says, and this is what he says in verse 14. This is how you induce the labor pains for the earth to produce the cry for the manifestation of the sons of God. He says, in this gospel, the gospel that he's saying right here, what I'm talking to you about, of the kingdom of God, the kingdom will be preached to all, not the gospel of grace, not the gospel of faith, not the gospel of stuff and things, the gospel of the kingdom, king's dominion. Jesus is king over us. The kingdom will be preached to the whole world as a testimony to all ethnos, all nations, and then the end will come. What is the end? It's over, bro. Ma'am, it's over. I don't care what religious argument you had. At that point, it is over. So then he says this. So when you see standing in the holy place, the abomination that causes desolation, which some religious folks are preparing for, spoken of through the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let no one on the housetop go down to take anything out of the house. Let no one in the field or his or her workplace go back to get their cloak or their clothes. How dreadful, he says, it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. Pray that your flight will not take place in winter or on the Sabbath, for then there will be great distress, unequal from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equal again. In other words, it's going to just quake and shake in darkness and hatred and evil and just like the days of Noah. He's sitting on the Mount of Olives having this conversation. I'm sure they're going like, I just wanted to know a date. You know, I didn't realize that it's going to cost us something. How many people today have been preached a false doctrine that says it's not going to cost you anything? Why would God have his son murdered, killed, sacrificed, and tell you it's not going to cost you anything? Salvation is free, but it costs you everything. Jesus said himself, unless you count the cost, unless you give up everything, you can't even be his disciple. So that's false. And so he finishes up. He says, listen, in those days, it says, if those days had not been cut short, no one would have survived. Yeah, we're thinking like, I wouldn't take much at all. 5 minutes of that, and it's like, take me.
That's over.
But for the sake of the elect, and praise God, dear Lord, I want to be the elect, you know? But for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. At that time, if anyone says to you, look, here is Jesus, here is the Messiah, or there he is, do not believe it. For false messiahs, and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and wonders to deceive. Listen, signs are supposed to follow you as a believer. You're not supposed to follow signs. Go figure. Right.
Mm-hmm.
but would deceive many if it was possible. And he's talking about his coming, because all the stuff's going to, everything's going to do, everything in all Satan's arsenal is going to be launched against the human being that will just, and all you got, all he has to do is get you following him or one of his servants, and you're out. That's why there's, the abortion's rampant. That's why all these things are rampant and war's rampant. He's trying to kill off as many people as he can before they say yes to Jesus. And he says, for false messiahs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and wonders. Quit following signs. Believe God for signs to follow you. He said, these signs will follow them who believe. In my name, you will cast out demons. You will lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. You know, what we're seeing as we're walking with God right now, we're seeing it just like a natural happening. It's just this stuff happens. Yeah. God's just God amongst you, and these things happen. And he said that the elect couldn't be deceived in the context of that, but we want to cut it short for that. See, I have told you this ahead of time. And if anyone tells you, there he is in the wilderness, do not go out. Or here he is in the inner room, do not believe it. For as lightning, think about it, for as lightning that comes from the east is visible even to the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Imagine, just like, bam! I mean, everybody's going to know it. Listen, it ain't no secret in some cultic-looking thing out there in the middle of Mojave Desert. You know, that's not it. It's going to be like, bam! And everybody's going to know it. It's like lightning, bam! And everybody who didn't say yes knows it's over. Sitting here thinking you can send a little bit more before he comes back. That lightning can happen today, bro.
That's right.
For as lightning that comes from the east is visible from the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. And think about it. And he says, immediately after the distress of those days, the sun will darken and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. Listen, we've already seen God's beginning to show us these things taking place. He's given us dreams about this, prophetic dreams of this happening. We are so close to the coming of the Lord. And then he says, he's talking to his disciples. They're saying, when are you going to come back? And then we started by talking about Israel. So it's coming back there. He says, then will appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then all the peoples of the earth will mourn when they see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great joy. And he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call. Think about it. And they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. That's the last trumpet sound. Read the book of Revelation. You have seven trumpets. The last trumpet sounds. There he's, I'll send my angel. He'll blow the trumpet. And this is the sign. Listen to this. And I'm going to finish this up. But you got to understand this. When we're talking about Israel, 65 years old tomorrow. Now, learn the lesson of the fig tree. As soon, and this is, that represents Israel. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you will know that the summer is near. Remember he said, pray that your flight doesn't happen in the winter. You'll know that your summer is near. Even so, when you see all these things, you will know that it is near, right at the door. Truly, I tell you, this is Jesus talking to his disciples, this generation, who is that? That's you, man. That's you, sir. This generation, that's 65 years of being a, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Israel is 65 years tomorrow, which means generations have been living. We're coming, this convergence, and John and I were just talking just a moment, just yesterday. All we can feel, and we're just, the convergence of everything is happening so quickly, and darkness is cranking it up, and so many people are deceived right now, but we believe in a third great awakening is going to come, and God's people are going to, their eyes are going to open up, they're going to turn back to him. But understand, listen, he says, when you see these things, he is knocking at the door. The coming of the Lord is near. Let me tell you, so you need to prepare yourself. You need to turn from your wickedness. Turn back to God. Listen, if you're around a whole bunch of folk who call themselves religious, but they're just swimming in sin, they're swimming in what God says don't even touch, then you got to step away from that. Yeah. Just to be holy. I mean, I think it was George Barna that said people are leaving the church just so they can stay in relationship with God.
Yeah.
You know, they're trying to stay holy. People said, no, because you guys, what you're doing in that particular place there, and it's not the whole church, but they were leaving, you know, groups and gatherings because what they were doing was taking them further and further away from God. Listen, the coming of the Lord is near. You're listening to VFN Radio. We'll be right back.
It is so cool when you're reading the Bible, isn't it, Pat? When you find out when finally your life, your Christian walk lines up with what you're actually reading in your Christian Bible, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's so cool that when you actually have a source you can go to now, because
right.
It fits your life and your life fits the Word. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you've been reading the Word of God and you've been reading as a history book, or somebody's told you that there's not any more miracles anymore, somebody's, you know, told you that that doesn't apply anymore, and they've replaced the Word of God with their traditions.
Mm.
Let me tell you something. You know, let every man be a liar and God be the truth. His Word is living and active and sharper than a double-edged sword. God has not changed. Men change.
That's right.
God hasn't changed. You know, if that's you, if you are presently not connected or related to a body of believers, or if you are at a place that it just seems dead. It's like your prayers hit the ceiling. Any conversations about going deeper in God, people don't know what you're talking about. When you're talking about, let's go do what the Bible says, and they say, no, let's just go see a movie instead. I mean, things like that. If that's where maybe Vine Fellowship Network's for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the thing about it is you have to understand that when you step out of, I remember one particular person said this.
Mm-hmm.
They said, when I stepped out of tradition, men's tradition,
right.
And I stepped into VFN, it was like stepping right into the book of Acts chapter 4.
Right.
Remember that?
Yeah, I remember that.
But you have to understand, this is not something you stick your toes in. When you want to follow God, you don't put a toe in it and find out what temperature it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is, you know, walking with God. There's so many different men and women that are walking with the Lord that are in tune with what's going on. You know, George Barna writes in his book that people are leaving the traditional church not because they want to get away from God. It's because they're wanting to maintain their walk with God.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Think about it. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
But hey, I mean, you got to do what you got to do to stay close to God, because you stand alone before God.
Mm-hmm.
You stand alone before God, no witnesses and no suspects.
That's
you
right.
are there all by yourself. So you are accountable for you. And I want to encourage you, if that's you, if you're ready to dive into the things of God, to dive into the deep, and you're ready to say, I just want to believe God. I want the Word to be alive and living and active in my life. I no longer want it nullified, but I want it to be living and active in my life. Maybe VFN's for you. VFN stands for Vine Fellowship Network, a network of abiding churches who are rightly related, seeking to love God, love others, and lead others to do the same. Go to vfnfamily.org, vfnfamily.org.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat and John. Just talking about Israel being 65 years old tomorrow and the coming of the Lord. How quickly,
yeah.
How quickly this, you know, we're like, I mean, you got to stay tuned. You need to sign up for VFN TV. You need to get to where people are hearing from God. And there are people hearing from God all over the place. And but you need to get to the ones who are hearing from God, because God is speaking. He's speaking. And mm-hmm. by the way, he does speak. Remember, you know, Pat and I were met with people that they didn't really want to hear what God has to say. He's like, aren't you a preacher? You don't want to hear what the Lord has to say. What are you doing, right?
Wild. Yes.
It's like my God, but they probably wouldn't believe that. I said, God,
oh my goodness.
Yeah, I'm not like, you don't want to hear what are you doing that? When you live, are you sharing? Can you imagine, when you live on the preceding word of God, I mean, you're dependent. If God don't speak to you today, it just don't work, right?
That's right.
And somebody who's been walking without the voice of God for that long, you know, looks at you and says, well, I don't want to hear the voice of God. It's like, I guess we just can't relate because I'm going to freak you out because I don't know what I'm going to do tomorrow, what I'm going to do, what God says.
Right. Exactly.
And obviously you have a 30-year plan. I hope it works out at the throne room. But yeah. But the thing is the voice of God, it's about a relationship. Am I not telling you?
That's the truth.
And God is speaking. Listen, yeah. Jesus just said to his disciples sitting on the Mount of Olives, he said, this generation will not pass. Think about it. It won't pass until he returns. Mm. It's exciting, isn't it?
Very, very exciting. Very. Mm. When you look at it, I mean, it's like this is Bible. So much Bible prophecy right now is being fulfilled before our eyes. And the thing about it is we cannot fall asleep. You got to be awake. You get tuned in to those who are hearing God's voice.
Slap me. Slap me. Slap me. I'm going to say, I am not going to get lethargic here. We're going to stay. And that's what we're doing, right? We're just like, you know, we're preparing the way of the bridegroom. Remember, we're just like the awake five virgins, right? Slap me. Keep me awake. Put some oil in there. Trim my wick. You know, I'm going to, you do that by abiding. Join us on the other side of the extra hour. We're going to continue this conversation in just a few moments. Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at bfntv.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at bfntv.com. You're listening to BFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side.